This is your brother James, and this is God's Will Podcast.
What is the truth about homosexuality? I was pondering this question the other day. My wife brought it up, and she brought up a good point. It's hard for me to sit here and say it's worse than other sins, right? Because it's pretty clear God sees all sin the same, right? So I just wanted to clarify. It's more for me than it is for you, to be honest. But because it's been brought up, I need to just lay it out. So there's three things we need to consider when asking this question. What is the truth about homosexuality? Okay, there's one, God's point of view, right? His point of view before Jesus is important, and a lot of people don't think it is important. A lot of people do think it's important, too important, but it needs to be considered. God's point of view after Jesus, which is, it's, does it change? Okay. And then also, it's not the unforgivable sin. So those three things need to be considered when understanding this question. Okay. I wanted preface, what I'm about to read right now in Leviticus as, again, it's pretty harsh. Okay. But, this is before Jesus's blood covers our sin. Okay. And, I bring this up because I do deal with people, I'm around people who are homosexuals, a lot of them, okay, and I'm friends with them. I don't partake in the debauchery that usually takes place with most people, and I'm not saying all people who are, homosexual, gay, whatever, are always, partaking in party, revelry, orgies, those kind of things. Not everybody who is that is doing that. However, the vast majority are, very debaucherous, I would say, I don't know if that's an understatement, but there's just a lot of things that go on when you're gay that are just intense. You usually use drugs. And I'm not saying you always have multiple partners, because that's not true anymore because of all the health concerns, right? There's a lot of alcohol involved, drugs, just changing of your mind, altering of your mind, and just parties and, indulgences of your flesh. Okay. So I do only see that mostly. I don't see a ton of very controlled homosexual people. You know what I mean? I don't see a ton of I see a lot of people doing good things who are homosexuals, I see a lot of, behaviors that aren't necessarily wrong, but I also see a lot of debauchery Anyway, so I'm just going to leave it at that, right? So I believe that's probably a bulk of the issue is what comes with giving into this sin, because I don't, and I'll close it up at the end, but there's just so many more things that come with the homosexuality that is a concern. Not always just the homosexuality. Yeah, that's a concern. But it's what about everything else that comes with it? It's just a total flesh, just giving into your flesh, right? So I'm just going to read. So Leviticus 18, okay? I'm just going to start in verse 21, okay? So Leviticus 18, 21. So this is the third book of the Bible, all right? So it says, "And you shall not let any of your descendants pass through the fire to Molech, nor shall you profane the name of your Lord, or name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. Nor shall you mate with an animal to defile yourself with it, nor shall any woman stand before an animal to mate with it. It is a perversion." Okay, so the reason I read the animal one is because it is, they are associated. There are, prior to this, there's a lot of list. It's a whole list of what is okay and what's not okay in terms of sexual, pleasures, right? And a lot of it is just incestual relationships. Don't have sex with people in your family. and then it says, don't have sex with a man and don't have sex with an animal. Okay, so this whole chapter is basically about that. Chapter 20 also kind of emphasizes it. Okay, Leviticus 20. So if you want to read those on your own, you can. Essentially, incest, laying with an animal, and laying with a man in God's eyes are an abomination, right? Those are bad. Don't do those things. They're not natural. It's not natural. That's why it's not natural. That is, I guess, another point I wanted to make is that laying with, having sex with a man is not a natural thing. Like God pointed that out in Genesis. Okay. So that is the truth, is it's not natural. You can get into, you can argue the, do gay people go to heaven or not? That's an argument. The not an argument is that it is not natural. Okay. So, that I just wanted to make clear that that's my stance on it. However, the idea that people who are gay are going to hell is wrong. That thinking that way is wrong. Okay. Now here, this is the best way I can describe it. Okay. I, have somebody, right? A guy, let's say a guy, he comes to me, he's like, I'm sleeping with my girlfriend, I'm watching porn. I need help. Help me, please. I know this is wrong. This is not okay. I know this is not what God wants, but I can't stop doing it. I need help, Okay. I got this guy. That's what God wants. He wants that heart. Okay. And this is no different than a guy coming up to me saying, listen, man, I had sex with a guy the other night. I've been thinking about it. I did it. I want to do it again. I need help. I don't see these people as two different people. And you shouldn't either. And as a Christian, we do. Okay. I see them as the exact same. Okay. The key is that they both know that it is wrong. Either thing that they're doing, they both know that it is wrong. And I truly believe deep down in my heart that God can change people. Okay. He changed me. I was a porn addict. I watched a ton of porn. I couldn't have sex with women from how much porn I watched. I am married now and I please my wife. It's great. Things can change. Okay. But it's the difference between, your flesh and your spirit. Are you going to feed your flesh or are you going to feed your spirit? That's it. And the truth is that until you are a Christian, you don't have the free will to do so. And a lot of people think that you do have free will prior to being a Christian. You don't. God has made, like we were made and we were only, the day we were born into Adam and our sin is just so... We just want to sin. That's all we can do. And by the grace of God, when he calls us, he called us and we accepted, right? He accepted the invite. He called us and he's gracious enough to give us the opportunity to make the decision now to live carnally or live by the Spirit. And I've chosen to live by the Spirit and I've done a lot of things that can help build a foundation to where you are living by the Spirit. Okay. And a lot of the things that I give, a lot of the strategies I give on here, you can go back and listen to my, I have strategies, I have whatever. You can go listen to my War for Your Soul episodes. All those are never going to be old, okay? It sounds, like if you were somebody who was coming in and your life has always been kind of put together, it sounds very legalistic, right? It's like a lot of things that you have to do. I'm not doing it because I'm legalistic. I'm doing it because I know this is what I have to do to live today. Because I don't want to go back there. And if I don't do these things, I will fall. And that's why I do these things. I memorize scripture because I don't want to fall again. When an impure thought comes in my head, I recite scripture. When an impure thought comes in my head, like I have to be, prayed up. I have to be in spiritual, in fellowship, in church, in church, learning the Bible, doing these things to build my spirit to where when I do encounter hardship, it's not this freaking dark place that I go to and I just give in to my sin, you know? And that's what I see with homosexuality is people just, this is who I am. I just get, and they just give into it. And then it leads to all this debaucherous behavior, right? Because it's just, it's all about the flesh. It's all about the flesh, just feeding the flesh, feeding the flesh. That's what I see. I don't see it as any different than this other dude who's watching porn, you know, or the guy, right? Now, I'm going to give you two other guys, okay? One guy is watching porn at night. He's married, okay? And he, in his own heart, is saying, well, at least I'm not cheating on my wife. Okay, there's this guy. And then there's this guy who's gay, living with another man, and he's saying that God still loves me, okay? And you could argue whether they're true or not, but what I can say is their heart is not something God wants. That heart right there, the heart of those two men are not the heart that God is cool with, okay? And God weighs the heart, okay? He is cool with the heart of the other two men, even though their struggles are totally different. We see them differently. God looks at them and they're like, oh, that's the heart I want, you know? They both know it's wrong. And they don't want to do it anymore. So they're trying to change. And it's a lot of work. It is. I promise it is hard. But in the end, it is, you have the peaceable fruit of righteousness. It's called discipline. You get the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who've been trained by discipline. So, yeah. So anyway, I am just totally, not mesmerized by the topic, but it's just very interesting to me that I've never really like had a clear answer or a clear truth for this, right? So again, first thing, God's view of homosexuality is very, you know, he sees it as an abomination. This is before Christ, right? What is his view after Christ? So now if you go to the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 6, now this is just, you can just label this the sex chapter. And I did a whole, you know, where I was, we were memorizing it together on here. I did a whole, you know, memory chapter on 1 Corinthians 6. So it's literally the chapter about sex, right? And in 1 Corinthians 6, it states, let's go to verse 9. It says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. So basically what he's saying is all these different people will not inherit the kingdom of God, which means they're, you know, it's assuming that they're going to hell, right? But it, you know, I'm sure some theologian can go a little deeper than that with you. But if you want to make it on a very basic level, that's what that means, right? So basically, it's just a bunch of flesh activities. If there's a lot of people just doing a bunch of flesh activities, they're not inheriting anything God has, right? They don't want it. They obviously don't want it. They want what their flesh wants, right? And homosexuals is in there, okay? But it's good news and bad news. It's good news because it's in there with just everything else, right? But it's bad news is I see it as it is your flesh. You can, I believe God can change you. Like I do. Like, and you might say, I don't want to be changed, whatever. It's like, or you can just admit that this is wrong. Like the Bible's, first off, you have to decide that the Bible is truth, and that it wasn't just men who wrote it, that God inspired men to write it. And you got to trust that that's what this is. Because in the end, you don't want to sit here and ignore it, right? And then in the end, you go to the end and you're like, well, some men wrote it. And God's like, well, that's what I gave you, man. And you weren't listening. And it's like, there's nothing I can do for you. You know, it's like, I gave you the way and you wanted to give into your flesh. Just admit it. You just wanted to give into your flesh. That's what you're going to say. Just admit that. And finally, you're going to admit it. It's going to be too late. Okay? So it's like, you know... I see it more as like, you know, like I struggle with homosexuality. Let's pretend I do. I struggle with homosexuality and I just, man, it's so hard. I know a couple people who currently do, and they're married to women. You know, they're a little more masculine women. They're married to women and they have kids. So I know it's possible. I know it's a thing and it's going to take a lot of work, but it's like, it takes a lot of work for me to love my wife it takes a lot of work for me to get up and go to work and do my job at a high level. It takes a lot of work to do a lot of things. And guess what? In Psalm 90, it says, your years of your life are 70 years. And if by reason of strength, if because you're strong, they could be 80 years. But the boast of it, or your boast, or what you have pride over, is labor and sorrow. That's what our life is, labor and sorrow, okay? You should not want to hang on to this life. You should be excited to die. Like, I truly believe that. And I do believe that you should be excited to be on earth, but I also believe you should be excited to die, like, equally. Like, I don't believe they should be, like, feared one or the other. Like, oh, being on earth sucks, you know, and this place is terrible. Or being on earth is amazing, you know. It shouldn't be that. It should be like, I'm excited to be here, but I'm also excited to die. And even Paul says it. He says, you know, it is better for me to stay with you. It's, you know, to live is Christ, to die is gain. He's like completely content with both, you know. And that is the key, is our... You do not want to feed your flesh. You want to feed your spirit. And the more you feed your spirit, and it's not going to happen right away. You're not just going to like wake up and not be gay. You're not going to wake up and just stop watching porn. It takes time. It takes a lot of time. It takes hours and hours of freaking memorizing scripture and going to church and going to Bible studies and going on a missions trip and building a house for somebody in a third world country. And, feeding the homeless every Saturday for 5 years and working out all the freaking time with any free time you have so you don't have to think about freaking sex. It sucks. It's hard. I'm sorry. That's what it is. Okay. Life's hard. Okay. Just that's what it is. And it should be, because then when you die, you're happy, or not happy, just better. Okay, so let's just keep that in mind as well as I'm speaking. So anyway, that is, you know, my spiel on homosexuality, and you know, I'm glad I was able to speak about it, because it does help me understand as well, because I didn't quite understand, and I believe that's why God hasn't really, you know, brought me, you know, more people to kind of like point to Him in that realm of things. I am in a community that way, but I'm also, you know, I don't necessarily know how to address all the questions all the time, you know, and that's okay, right? It's okay. But I want to be able to answer more questions. And, you know, if I was partaking in the behavior that they were, that would be a problem for me. You know, like that's my issue. And I don't believe God, you know, is going to put you in an environment you're going to struggle in. He's going to put you in an environment where you can thrive in, and it's like a very picture of Him, you know, where you're just loving people and being a part of their life. You know what they do in the background, but you're not part of it. You keep yourself pretty separate. But I believe God does bring us those environments when at the right time. And that's where I believe I am. And I just thank the Lord, and I pray right now that God would speak through me to other people who are hurting. Cause people in that world, you know, in the homosexual LGBTQ community are hurting, and they've been chastised and cast off by other people. And I do see that hurt. And that's probably the reason why I'm there, because I don't understand it, but I see it and I know that it's there. And I don't try to understand it. Let me put it this way. I don't try to understand it. I just know it's there. Amen.
And this was your brother James with the God's Will podcast.